our music and prepare our hearts, right? As you are able, please stand with me and join in our call to worship. The Lord Jesus calls us to rest a while. Leads us into active ministry in the world. Come, gather in this sanctuary from the world's ways. This is a sanctuary of service and prayer. You may be seated for our opening music. You may remain seated as you join me for our prayer of confession. Lord of our hours, you have set aside a special time for us to withdraw from the world. You have called us away from ambition to ease, from quantity to quality, which are your temples, as objects that can be run into the ground, acting as if they're yet. So often we take your gift of Sabbath and turn it into a catch-all day. We know that no matter how much we do, there will always be more. We confess we have treated our bodies, which are your temples, as objects that can be run into the ground, acting as if there would never be any accounting. We resolve to release time and behold you. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Accept your forgiveness and live your life with the same spiritual balance that characterized Jesus' life. Amen.
Benjamin, he had his foot amputated because of COVID. So please remember Benjamin in your prayers. Also, Esther Fioke's mother-in-law, Liz, has cancer. So let's be sure and remember the family in our prayers. Also, pray for Karen's husband, Bruce Underwood. He has a heart condition. He was supposed to undergo some tests, and that kind of fell through. So we're hoping that they'll be able to do the test soon. But he does have a heart condition. And then I mentioned last week, Maury St. John, a dear friend of mine who's in the care of hospice, she passed away on Thursday. So please remember Don St. John and the whole family in your prayers, if you would. She was a great asset to the Ruidoso Church, very actively involved with the seniors, and also loved dogs. He was always adopting dogs and tried to get me to adopt him, even though I already had dogs. So. But please remember Don St. John and the family in your prayers. Pray for our church during this time of transition. And particularly as we go through the listening parties, pray that we might all hear each other and recognize that we all may not have the same take on our history, but that's okay. And that despite our differences, what unites us is far more important. And that's our love for Jesus Christ and our love for this church. So please pray for that. Also, I want to ask, one thing I like to do is recognize unspoken concerns. Not everyone feels comfortable voicing a concern, but if you have an unspoken concern this morning you would like us to recognize, would you please raise your hand? Thank you. Thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks. Any other unspoken concerns? Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Any others? Well, if not, let's approach the Lord in prayer. Gracious, merciful God, we remember how your son, Jesus, needed to find a quiet place and a quiet time to cope with the pressures of daily living. Lord, slow us down. Ease the pounding of our hearts by the quieting of our minds. Lord, we're overwhelmed with so many events that happen today. It seems like things are happening so quickly. As we turn on the news, as we read our news feed on our phones and our computers, we feel overwhelmed, Lord. And sometimes we feel overwhelmed by all the tasks that we have to do. But Lord God, help us to slow down. Steady our hurried pace with the vision of the eternal reach of time. Give us amidst the confusion of our days, the calmness of the everlasting hills. Break the tension of our nerves and muscles with the soothing music of the singing streams. Help us to know the magical restoring power of rest, Lord God. Teach us the importance of taking some quiet time to be with you, to calm our souls in this hectic and anxious time amidst the hectic fervor of our days. And help us to take 1 minute vacations, slowing down, Lord, to look at a flower, to chat with a friend, to pat a dog, to read a few lines from a good book. Remind us each day of the fable of the tortoise and the hare, that we may know the race is not always to the swift, that there's more to life than increasing its speed. Let us look up into the branches of the towering oak and know that it grew great and strong because it grew slowly and well. Slow us down, Lord. Inspire us to send our roots into the soil of your grace for life's enduring values, that we may grow toward the stars of our greater destiny. Heavenly Father, we recognize that even Jesus had to get away from the maddening crowds and the demands that were placed upon him. There were times he had to get away to be alone with his Father. And Lord, we can do no less. Help us to take time each day to spend with you so that we might build that balance in our life that we so desperately need, because our world is completely out of balance. Lord God, we pray for all these prayer requests we've mentioned this morning. We remember Liz Fioke, and we remember Benjamin, Judy Shema's nephew. We pray for Bruce Underwood and for the St. John family. We pray that you might be with them and be a source of healing and wholeness in their lives. Heavenly Father, be with our church as we go through this transition and help prepare us for our new pastor who will be arriving in July. And finally, Lord, I ask that you recognize all those who raised their hands this morning. I don't know the needs, but you know the needs because you know our hearts. And we pray that your grace might prove sufficient to each of these needs in accordance with your will for us through Jesus, who teaches the disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
If you will please stand as you're able and join me in our affirmation of faith found on page 881 on your hymnal, or I think it'll be up here on the screen, maybe. Let us unite in this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. On the third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. And now, if you'll please remain standing as you can, for the reading of our gospel, which is found in Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. After Jesus left the synagogue with James and John, they went to Simon and Andrew's home. Now Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a high fever. They told Jesus about her right away. So he went to her bedside and took her by the hand and helped her sit up. Then the fever left her, and she prepared a meal for them. That evening, after sunset, many sick and demon-possessed people were brought to Jesus. The whole town gathered at the door to watch. So Jesus healed many people who were sick with various diseases, and he cast out many demons. But because the demons knew who he was, he did not allow them to speak. Before daybreak the next morning, Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. Later, Simon and the others went out to find him. When they found him, they said, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "We must go on to other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That is why I came." So he traveled throughout the region of Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out demons. The word of God for the people of God.
I want to welcome you who are here with us this morning, and also those of you who are watching by Facebook. And I just want to say a word to you. If you can't be here with us this morning, we are still glad that you are with us by Facebook. And I want to encourage you to continue to follow us. And I want to mention also, you should have received a sermon outline earlier this week by email, and if you haven't run that off yet, I'd encourage you to run it off so that you can take notes with the rest of the folks here this morning, and we'll be sending that out each week. I also want to mention that I write a Wednesday devotional, and I want to encourage you to read that devotional each Wednesday, and I think it'll we'll have something good for you for the week. Now, I want to say, I had hoped that my wife could be here today. She could not be here because our 5-year-old grandson came in. And though we were going to bring him, he had a little cough. And in this day and time, you know what that means. So he is at home with his grandmother. But I want to say hello to Kathy and to you, Elliot. And I hope you get to feeling better. So hopefully they can be with us next week or maybe in a few weeks. So remember my little grandson, Elliot, in your prayers. Today is the second in a series of 7 sermons that I've been doing on the ABCs of spiritual vitality. The ABCs of spiritual vitality. Now, you might recall that last week we looked at the letter A, which stood for acceptance. And acceptance is just another word for God's grace. Mr. Wesley, who was the founder of the Methodist Church's theology, was a theology of grace. And life begins and ends with grace. Prevenient grace, justifying grace, sanctifying grace. But it's all about grace, or God's acceptance of us. And so last week we explored what it means in our daily lives and our relationships that God accepts us. And we discovered that because God accepts us, we are empowered to accept Jesus. That's prevenient grace. God always acts before we do. And that's something that John Wesley made clear. That's prevenient grace, the grace that comes before. It prepares our hearts to accept Jesus. Then we also learn that because God accepts us, we can accept others. We are empowered to accept and forgive others. And then finally, and perhaps the most difficult point of all last week, is that because God accepts us, we can accept ourselves. That's hard, isn't it? It's hard for us to accept our failures. But you know, Jesus forgives us and we can forgive ourselves. So that's what we explored. Those of you who weren't with us last week, that was the beginning of the sermon series, because grace or acceptance is the foundation for all the other components for spiritual vitality. It all begins with grace. And the Bible teaches that, and Mr. John Wesley taught that as well. Today, though, I want us to get to the letter B. We're going to talk about balance, the importance of having balance in our spiritual lives. And we're going to discover that even Jesus had to have balance. And we're no different than Jesus. If he needed balance, so do we. So, let's begin this morning with a word of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In our text today, we see how the demands of life pressed in upon Jesus. We find that Jesus is in Capernaum, and Jesus heals Simon's mother-in-law. That night, when the word about the healing gets out, everyone gathers around Simon's house. The whole city's there. Everyone's coming, pressing in from every side. Now, I can just picture it. Everyone's calling Jesus' name, trying to touch the hem of his garment. People are pressing in, trying to touch Jesus. How did Jesus deal with those daily demands? And how do we deal with them? How do we deal with them? You know, one of the most serious challenges we face today is the problem of burnout. The problem of burnout. What is burnout? Well, burnout is when you give and give and give without ever refreshing, renewing, or restoring. You just keep pouring it all out and nothing ever comes back. And at the end of all of that, you come up empty. And you not only come up empty, you come to that place of exhaustion beyond empty. That's burnout. Exhaustion beyond empty. But fortunately, there's an alternative to burnout. And that alternative is balance. You see, if we don't take time to build balance in our daily lives, and we give and give and give without ever refreshing, renewing, or restoring, we end up at that place of being burnt out. Being burnt out. You know, I have a number of gauges in my car. And when I see that my gas gauge reads almost empty, I know that I can still drive about 50 miles. I can still get to the nearest gas pump. But let me tell you, when that oil light goes off, we all know what that means. You stop right then. Because when the oil light goes off, you run the risk of burning up your engine. Burnout is when the oil light goes off. It means if we keep on going, we're going to get to the point where we burn out and burn up. And we don't want to be at that place. We don't want to be at that place. So, building balance in our lives is more than just something nice. It's necessary for anyone who faces daily demands. But how can we build in that balance? And how does Jesus lead us today? Well, this morning I'd like us to explore how Jesus can lead us into that blessing of balance. I'd like us to take a look at three steps that Jesus shows us to help us find balance. And if you'd like to follow along, there's a sermon outline printed in your bulletin for your convenience. I encourage you to fill in the blanks, take it home. Consider what God is saying to us this week about the importance of building balance in our lives. And of course, if you prefer, you can also follow along with a PowerPoint presentation. So, let's begin with the first step for building balance in our spiritual lives. The first step is to find a quiet place. The first step is to find a quiet place. We see today how Jesus started out to build balance. He did it by going to a quiet and lonely place, and there he prayed. Now, all night long, people were demanding things of Jesus. But early, before morning came, Jesus went out to a quiet and lonely place, And there he prayed. A quiet place with a quiet time to be alone with God. Let me ask you, do you have a quiet place where you can be alone with God? You know, the psalmist in Psalm 23 tells us he leads us beside the still waters to restore our souls. He leads us beside the still waters to restore our souls. In stillness, God restores our souls. So, do you have that quiet place where you can be alone with God, where you can listen to God and talk to God and be in prayer? You know, sometimes prayer is more than just talking or listening. Sometimes it's just being with God. Sometimes it's so good just to be, with God in those quiet places. Do you have that quiet place where you can be alone with God, where you can center in your Savior and just let your soul slow down? Well, if you don't have that place, get that place. Jesus needed that place, and so do we. Quiet time. How much time is good for quiet time? How much time do you need for quiet time? Now, obviously, that answer is different for different folks. It's different for different folks. But you know, it should be time enough for you to let your soul slow down, time enough to listen to God, time enough to listen to your own heart. Now, if you haven't got a quiet time, let me suggest that a good place to start is 10 minutes. That's right, 10 minutes. Someone might say, but preacher, I can't slow down in 10 minutes. That's not near enough quiet time for me to get close to God and to listen to my soul and listen to my Savior. Someone else might say, preacher, I don't have 10 minutes. With all the demands in my day, I don't have 10 minutes to give. I want to recommend that you find 10 minutes to give to yourself and to God. If you'll give that 10 minutes to yourself and to God, that 10 minutes will grow. It'll become so precious to you that you'll expand that time. I guarantee you. You take time to be with God, and that time will grow in your life. It'll become such a blessing because it will help build balance in your spiritual life. Quiet place, quiet time. That's the first step to building balance in our spiritual lives. And that brings us to the second step. The second step to building balance in our spiritual lives is to clarify our purpose. The second step is to clarify our purpose. Now, when Jesus is in that quiet place, he begins to become clear about his purpose. Notice that while Jesus is in that quiet place, Simon Peter comes and finds him and says to him, "You need to come back to town because everybody's looking for you. You need to come back and perform more healings and more miracles. Keep on doing what they need you to do. Come back. Come back." But Jesus said to him, "We must go on to the other towns as well, and I will preach to them too. That's why I came. That's why I came." You see, when Jesus is in that quiet place, he's not only able to center in on God, he's also able to center in on what's important, on what's a priority, and what God would have him do in the life, in his life and in the world. I invite us to do the same. We need to find that quiet place and ask God to show us what's truly important for us to be doing today and what are the true priorities of our lives. Jesus was able to separate the urgent from the important by finding a quiet place. Folks, you all know this. Demands are always urgent, aren't they? Demands are always urgent. Anytime someone makes demands of you and calls out your name, it's urgent. But is it important? Is it something that will forward the purpose that God has for you to be doing today? Think about that. What's truly important for you? You know, the late Stephen Covey was one who was able to help people separate what's urgent from what's important. He suggested that we work at doing that and that we build balance in our lives by prioritizing our life. That we need to separate the urgent from the important. That's what we're called to do. But it's not always easy. It's not always easy. You know, there are times in life when we have to say no to the things that are good and worthy and worthwhile so that we might say yes to the things that are truly important. Think about that. Separating the urgent from the important. Let me repeat that. If you don't hear anything else I say today, please don't miss this. There are times in life when we have to say no to the things that are good and worthy and worthwhile so that we might say yes to the things that are truly important. Now, if you're sitting here this morning thinking to yourself, you know, preacher, I can't remember a time that I've ever said no to another person's request, then this may be the time that you need to start separating the urgent from the important and start prioritizing your life. Prioritizing what's truly important. You know, prioritizing time can help bring balance to our lives. It's true. Oprah Winfrey once said, "I've learned along the way that I can't have everything. I can't do everything all at the same time. I've learned along the way that I can't have everything. I can't do everything all at the same time." You see, that's about balance. That's about saying yes to some things and no to other things. That's about prioritizing things. It's about prioritizing. So, let me ask you, have you learned how to separate the urgent from the important? Well, the second step to build balance in our lives is to clarify our purpose. We need to clarify our purpose and not get caught up in the urgent things when there are far more important things, and that's hard to do. But that's what we're called to do. Jesus did that, and so can we. So can we. Well, quiet place is the first step. Clarified purpose is the second step. And that brings us to the third and final step for building balance in our lives. The third and final step is constant practice. The third and final step is constant practice. You see, the demands that face us come every day. They're regular. They're regular. And just as the demands are regular, so our routine for restoring balance must be regular, must be a healthy, holy habit day in and day out. Now, I can guarantee you, as Jesus traveled through Galilee, that scene played itself out over and over again. In almost every town that Jesus entered to heal people and perform miracles, they always wanted him to stay. I can guarantee you, they always wanted him to stay. And I can guarantee you, he always said to them, "I need to move on. I need to move on." You see, it was a constant practice. A constant practice to build balance in our everyday spiritual lives. I want to close with this last illustration. Several years ago, I served a church in the South Houston area near Pearland, Texas, if you know where that is. And the church was called Cokesbury United Methodist Church. Now, today it's called Crossroads, but it's still the same church. And the pastor there had decided to take a three-month sabbatical. So he was taking a three-month break, and I was filling in for him. One morning while I was sitting in the pastor's office, there was a knock at the door. And in walked a middle-aged lady who was a member of the church. She said to me, "Pastor Darrell, I need to ask you a question." I said, "Sure, Candy, have a seat." She said, "No, Pastor Darrell, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I do need to ask you this question." I said, "Well, go ahead." asked the question. She said, I'm a little bit embarrassed to ask this, but I'll do it anyway. And this is what she asked me. She said, Pastor Darrell, how do you pray? Pastor Darrell, how do you pray? Now, I could have answered her question in a variety of ways. I could have suggested any number of excellent books on prayer for her to read. I could have directed her to watch some DVDs or CDs on prayer. That would have been very good. But you know, I didn't do that. You know what I did? I said, Candy, you just start speaking with God like you would speak with your best friend. Share with God all of your hopes and dreams, all of your fears and failures. Share it all with God because God knows your heart. You just start speaking with God as you would speak with your best friend. And the more you practice doing that, the more natural it will become. She told me she would. About a month later, she came back and she was beaming with joy. She told me that she had tried what I suggested. And then she explained that she not only felt comfortable praying privately, she even felt comfortable leading others in prayer. You see, practice makes perfect. And what's true for prayer is just as true when it comes to building balance in our lives. You see, the more we practice doing it, the more natural it will become. Well, in conclusion, quiet place, clarified purpose, constant practice, moving forward in building the blessing of balance in our lives, caring for ourselves so that we might care for others. That's balance. That's balance. Whoever has the ears to hear, let that one hear what the Spirit says of the church. Amen. We come to that time when I give an invitation to Christian discipleship. Sharon was asking me earlier this morning, what is that about? Do I need to put something on the screen for that? And every week it's different. There's one thing, though, that's in common. And that invitation is this. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know Jesus as your friend with whom you can share your fears and failures, your hopes and dreams, now is the time for you to have that kind of relationship. You know, I've often said that being in a church no more makes one a Christian than being in a garage makes one a car. Just because we go through church all of our lives doesn't mean that we know Jesus. And He desires to have a living, vital relationship with us. And that's what this sermon series is all about. The ABCs of spiritual vitality. How do we have that vitality? By communing with Jesus each and every day. Do you have that relationship? If you don't, I would be happy to talk to you after our worship service this morning as to how that can happen. Because if you don't know that kind of relationship, God has a wonderful new life for you. If you have a prayer concern that's weighing on you, I would be happy to pray with you after the service. And then it's my specific invitation today. I know we live hectic lives. I know that we're living in a world that is overwhelming to us. With each passing day, we're faced with new challenges. But I also know that we don't have to face those challenges alone. Sometimes, like Jesus, we need to take a break and get away and center ourselves in God and in Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know when that might work out best for you. Maybe the morning, maybe the afternoon, maybe before you go to bed. But I want to encourage you to take that time out because that's a way of recharging our batteries. And we need to do that every day, not just on Sunday morning. Jesus needed to do that. And you know what? We can do no less. We need to recharge our batteries each and every day by having that daily communion with God. So I want to extend that invitation to you to find that time in your life this week, each and every day, and from now on, to take time to be with God and to commune with God and be in prayer. Because by doing that, you'll not only recharge your batteries, you'll also clearly focus on God's purpose for you. And I encourage you to practice that constantly. So we'll have our closing music now. Refresh me.
Just like water to a thirsty man, just like rain on a sun-scorched land. Refresh me in your presence. Refresh me in your presence. Your living water, it makes me whole. You quench the thirst of my longing soul. Refresh me in your presence. Refresh me in your presence. 'Cause when I think of you, you have a way of making me new. When I think of you, your spirit makes me new. Thirsty man, just like rain on a sun-scorched land. Refresh me in your presence. Refresh me in your presence. Your living water, it makes me whole. You quench the thirst of my longing soul. Refresh me. Refresh me in your presence. 'Cause when I think of you, you have a way of making me new. When I think of you, your spirit makes me new.
Amen. If you're with us here this morning in the sanctuary, or if you're in your home watching by Facebook, I hope you have been refreshed by the presence and spirit of the Lord. And I want to encourage you to experience that refreshment on a daily basis. So now would you receive the blessing? Go forth as God's people who have had your lives balanced by the inflowing of the Holy Spirit. And may you find that quiet place every day to be alone with God. And may God clarify your purpose each day as to how you can best serve Him. And may you constantly practice that time of renewal and refreshment to the glory of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
in each day I will give thanks that I am blessed to know your power, to know your grace and love. I will give thanks that I am
to know your